Again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Friends, we turned this morning and we read from sort of the opening paragraph of Paul's letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that he had mentored and taught to be a pastor. And as they had worked together, they had planted the church in Ephesus. And here, Paul has left Timothy in the Ephesian church to be their pastor and to teach there and to lead that church through troubling times. But Timothy is apparently written discouraged in ministry. And Paul has written back to them because the church in Ephesus was troubled, anxious, because Paul had been arrested. And some of them were even ashamed of Paul's arrest. The people within the church were quarreling among themselves. He even says that irreverent babble has spread like gangrene through the church. And some in the church had fallen away and left the faith completely. Others were twisting the teaching of the church to fit their own desires. And so Paul is writing sort of his swan song letter to Timothy to encourage him to be faithful in ministry, to build up the church, and to encourage the pastor and the people in their faithfulness. Paul, first of all, wants to encourage Timothy in his ministry. And he starts encouraging Timothy by expressing his thankfulness. Paul, first of all, remembers Timothy's tears. He was recalling their friendship. And when Paul left the church in Ephesus, Timothy wept for him. And he is reminding them of their close bond to one another. And Paul longs to see his friend again, hoping that soon Timothy will be able to come to him, and their joy will be fulfilled. It's kind of like a call from the blue, from an old friend that you haven't heard from in years. Paul is encouraging Timothy with words of friendship. I am encouraged by the friends and by the blessing that I have within this church. And I know in the time that I've announced that I've received another call to a person, I think every response has been, I'm sad to see you go. Not surprised, but sad to see you go. And what that tells me is that I have made strong and good, healthy friendships within this congregation, and I have been a blessing, and you have been a blessing to me. And so even as I am gone, I will remember fondly friends and the strength of the relationships that I've had here. So I remind you and encourage you of that friendship that we share. But I'm also, as Paul said, I am reminded of your sincere faith. And I think this is interesting. Paul notes the sincerity of his faith. The Greek word here means without hypocrisy. Timothy demonstrated a genuine faith where you say what you believe and that belief translates into a way that you act. A sincere faith is a faith that includes intellectual orthodoxy and pious conduct, faithfulness and loyalty in keeping your obligations. Paul later will note several people in the letter who have left or abandoned him. He mentions them by name. But here he says of Timothy, you have been sincere in your faith and loyal to me. So he encourages him because he knows the sincerity of the faith that abides in this young man. So then he goes next from encouragement to exhortation. He says, now, fan into flame. For this reason, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, throughout Paul's letters, he's used this idea of giftedness or charisma to speak of certain gifts and talents and abilities that God gives to those within his church to lead, either as gifts as apostles or preachers or evangelists or teachers or whatever it might be. Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, the gift of prophecy and healing and tongues and miracles and faith and love, all of these things. But here Paul is speaking primarily of a particular gift that has been given to Timothy. And I think it's important as we talk about fanning that gift into flame to understand what that gift is. And I believe Paul is speaking primarily of the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Not the spiritual gifts, but the primary gift that all of us have received when we place our faith in Christ, the gift of God's Spirit dwelling in us. Paul says when Timothy was consecrated for his service in Ephesus, the elders laid hands upon him. And it was at the very presence of the Holy Spirit that they validated his ministry. He received, as we all have, who call upon the name of Christ, the outpouring of God's Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, you, however, are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You hear what Paul's saying. When your life is buried in Christ through baptism, the Spirit of God dwells in you and gives you life. And you have received his Spirit. So Paul is talking about the gift of God's Holy Spirit, which brings us to life. And he says, this is not a spirit of fear. Our translation that we have before us says fear. The better translation of the word here is timidity. It is best translated that way because it's always used in a negative connotation, referring to cowardice. Timothy is facing overwhelming challenges within his church. We as a congregation will be facing overwhelming challenges. And Paul is reminding Timothy and the church today that the gift of God's Spirit is not a spirit of fear and trepidation, of cowardlessness, but of power and love and self-control. The Spirit of God is a spirit of power, of courage and resolution to meet, face on the difficulties and dangers that are ahead. God gives us the power, the ability to serve him. God gives us the message to speak. God gives us the passion to care for those around us. God gives us the power to serve him without fear, to make tough decisions based on the authority of God's word, and to stand and lead in the midst of troubling times. That is his power. The power of God is working in you to enable you to pray for and with others, to enable you to tell others about Jesus Christ, to enable you to stand firm against harmful and destructive teaching. Paul writes to the Colossian church, we proclaim Jesus Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. You get what he's saying? You know, as a pastor, it's exhausting preaching a sermon. I spend a week preparing it. I get emotionally caught up in this. And when I'm done on a Sunday morning, I'm spent. But that's because I'm, a lot of times, relying upon my power to do the presentation. But I know that it is not my power or my ability that makes the word effective. It's God at work within you. It's God's Spirit working through what I say and how I say it and the way we worship together. It's God's Spirit working that brings the teaching and the correction and the power. It is His energy that He powerfully supplies and works within me and within you that makes our work effective. And so we are called to receive this Spirit of power in our ministry. But the Spirit is also a spirit of love. In addition to being a spirit of power, we have received a spirit of love. Romans 5:5 says that God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is what keeps us from abusing our power. Love is what keeps righteousness from devolving into moralism. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love is what keeps us from being that clanging cymbal or that crashing gong. True love is energized by the Spirit and enables us to sacrifice for others, to not be afraid. We have a spirit of power and of love and also of self-control. This word is related to the words sober, sobriety. It is self-discipline. Better translated, perhaps, having a sound mind. Having self-control, having a spirit of self-control means that we are sensibly minded and balanced, that we don't freak out and panic at every trouble that comes our way. We know what we know in the midst of difficulty. We know that God is good. We know that God has called us here. We know that God has a purpose for us and that He is holding us together. And we will not be afraid. We will not cower in fear. We will not run from our problems, but we will face them in self-control. So you have received a power, or the spirit of power and love and self-control. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, Paul says to us, now fan that gift into flame. When we moved here, I still used charcoal when I wanted to barbecue. We have since bought a gas grill because I think the it's so much easier to get the thing going. You just go out, light the thing, turn it on, and let it warm up for a bit. But charcoal I liked because it gave such a rich flavor, but there was work that had to go into the process of getting the coals lit. And I think that teaches us something about how we ought to fan into flame. If you spread the coals out and pour lighter fluid on it and light it, they might go. But the best thing to do is to keep the coals together. They have those things that you stack them up, you put them all in there, you light it from the bottom, and they warm up together. If you spread them out too soon, they die off. But when they're drawn together, they kindle one another. And so we are to fan the flame by coming together as a community, like the coals in a fireplace. You keep them together so that they generate heat together and they fan the flame with one another. He's talking about fanning this flame, staying together in community. Talks about it in the church. Don't let people go astray. Keep them together. Be a community together. We also need to use the billows. Sometimes you get down underneath those coals and you blow air into it, and that air is fuel to the fire. We need this, the Word of God as a church, to give us fuel, to ignite us, to enliven us, so that we can be fed and strengthened. But we also must nurture these gifts. Paul doesn't ever tell Timothy to do X, Y, and Z. He's not giving him a laundry list of pastoral obligations and duties for ministry. Paul reminds Timothy that all of his success, the efficacy of his ministry, does not rely upon his own abilities, but upon the one who was given the gift for ministry. The power of ministry relies solely upon God. The effectiveness of this church is not on your ability to meet these standards or to do X, Y, and Z or to generate a spirit of togetherness, but it is a sense of which you rely upon the power of God to give you success in ministry. Personally and corporately as a church, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of power and love and discipline, is the Spirit that now lives and works in you. Fan that Spirit into flame. Nurture and rely upon His gift. Be encouraged for your ministry. Amen.